Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Housed in an old shoe factory in downtown St. Louis, the City Museum describes itself this way: as an ever-evolving, always thrilling, artist-built playground full of weirdly wonderful spaces to explore. Now, some consider this an understatement, and others say that the description is misleading. For within the 600,000 square feet of indoor, outdoor, and underground areas lie a playground that has been built with over 30,000 artifacts from around the world. And these artifacts, most people would consider junk. They are repurposed architectural and industrial objects like concrete blocks, assembly line hardware. There are giant tree trunks and branches. There's netting, fiberglass insulation, rebar, discarded business signs, and everything else you can imagine. 10 floors packed with this stuff in a way that creates caverns, tunnels, even 10-story slides. Infinite opportunities to explore. And almost everything in there was once counted worthless by its previous owners and destined for the dump. You see, each item had served a purpose once, but its value had long since diminished. And so each item was now considered an inconvenience, and even in the way of something better that was to replace it. But you see, worthless is not how the founders, Bob and Gail Cassily, saw these objects. They may have been discarded. They may have been abandoned. The world may have considered them valueless. But these two people, they saw it differently. They saw what the world could not, or what the world refused to see. They saw immense value in these items. And they knew that by gathering them together, by renewing them and setting them aside for a new use, that they could build something that has now become a light to the city of St. Louis and an attraction that is known throughout the world. Now, there's similarities with the gospel passage that we just read. Listen again to these verses. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begging him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." and her daughter was healed instantly. This was God's word. See, Canaanites were considered worthless by the Jewish community. And indeed, back in the time of the Exodus, when the Israelites entered into the promised land, they fought these people for the rights of that land. And these two peoples continued to hate each other, even to the time of Jesus. And so when this Canaanite woman asks for help from Jesus, a Jew, is it no wonder that everyone, even the disciples, try to send her away empty-handed? And how does Jesus respond? He responds by addressing their silent judgments head on. See, as the crowd looks upon this interaction, Jesus voices the thoughts that are in their heads. He says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," as if validating their beliefs that Canaanites, or really any other nation, is not worthy of anything that Jesus or even any Jew has to offer. You see, Jesus knew that the Jewish community had hardened their hearts towards this nation. It had judged them worthless, even considered them an obstacle to a better world. And then, as if to underscore their belief, he says to the woman as she kneels before him and begs, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Now I can imagine at this point the Jewish witnesses that were there. They were probably feeling very vindicated by his words. For here's Jesus, the one who says he is from God, the one who performs miracles, the one who teaches by his own authority. Here he stands. And here even he articulates what they are all feeling. Canaanites truly are worthless, not even fit for the mercy of God. Even Jesus seems to believe this. How happy they must have been in the moment. But you see, their pedestals that they rested on would soon be knocked over. For Jesus would then claim that this woman's faith is great. How? How can she be found with faith? She's a Canaanite. Canaanite women, Canaanites in general, don't have faith in the Israelites' God. And even if they did, even if this woman did, that shouldn't matter. Because God doesn't count Canaanites worthy. Does he? But that's exactly what he does. And in healing her daughter, Jesus turns their world upside down. What was once considered worthless is now shown to be of enormous value. Enough value that the power of Jesus would go out of him and be used for restoration, be used for healing of a non-Jew. What must have gone through their minds? Possibly a thought that if Jesus found the Canaanite people worthy, they should too. I can only imagine that that was a bridge too far for some of them. But most of all, I wonder if what they thought was something that cut right to their hearts, even deeper than the thought that they had to value the Canaanites. See, if Jesus found value in them, did it mean that he found value in other nations? Is it possible that the Romans might be included too? They were a hated people, maybe even more hated. See, Rome was a people that oppressed and even persecuted the Jewish nation. So how could Jesus, how could God find value in these people? Now, why would he even want to? But this exchange shows us that God does find value in these people. He finds value in all people. That's why he went to the cross. His sacrifice was not one that covered the sins of all mankind. It was one that covered the sins of all mankind, regardless of race and nationality. You see, his sacrifice was the ultimate proclamation that God did indeed find value in every created person. None would be left out. None would be excluded. Salvation was available to all, to the Canaanites, even to the Romans. God doesn't just find value. God gives value. He breathes his life into us. His life, his breath gives life. His Son sustains that life. And it's the desire of God that all would recognize the value that he has given them by turning towards him and receiving the mercy and the grace that he offers each one of them, each one of us. God extends this to the present time, this desire. He extends it to you and to me. We too are counted worthy, immensely valuable, even if we don't feel like we are, even when it doesn't seem like God is watching over us. There might be some who think that they are just another abandoned piece of creation, maybe once valuable, but no longer. They may feel like they're destined for the dump, to be discarded with all other worthless things. But that's not how God views them. That's not how God views us. If this is how you feel, then know that this is not how God views you. He views you with immeasurable value. And how do we know? How do we know that to be true? You see, if you want to understand your worth in the eyes of God, look to the cross. For there you will find how much value he places on you. For on the cross, he paid a price for you that was far too great for you to ever pay. On that cross, he counted you worthy, valuable. On that cross, he gave everything he had because you are worth it. He wants to spend an eternity with you. And so he paid the ultimate price so that he could. If you want to understand your worth in the eyes of God, look to the cross. And then look how he calls you through baptism into that same death and resurrection. And he does so because on your own, on our own, we are unfit to even eat the crumbs that fall from his table. But through baptism, he gathers us. He renews us, gives us new life, adopts us, and clothes us in Jesus' righteousness. And then he invites us to eat at his table. For because of Jesus, we are now counted worthy. And he doesn't offer us crumbs. He offers us himself each and every time we approach him at the table that he prepares for us. Don't ever for a moment, not a single moment, believe that God views you like the Jewish nation viewed the Canaanites. Because he doesn't. You are an adopted child of God, a child that he gave everything to save. This is the value he places on you. And it's a value that comes from him alone. Receive it. Please pray with me. Lord, on our own, we do not deserve anything that you offer. But through the death and resurrection of Jesus, you have made a way where we could be counted among your adopted and feast at your table. Lord, we thank you. We ask you that you instill in our hearts the motivation to proclaim this good news to all of those we meet. In your name we pray. Amen.